come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Paul didn't change his doctrine or the message of the gospel to appeal to different groups of people, but he did his best to find common ground with those who needed to hear truth and receive grace. His focus was always to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to help them grow in their faith. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Common Ground, a teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Time for our memory verse, page 64, if you need to look at that. Here we go. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Okay, we're going to do it again. Here we go. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Good job.
Lord Jesus, I just pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just meet us here. Father, that you would fill me with your words. Lord, that I would be able to speak what you have for us tonight, Lord. That you would be honored, that you would be lifted up, that we would be changed women, Lord. That we would look at life differently, that we would pray differently, that we would walk differently. That we would be different women when we walk out of here because we have heard from you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move into chapter 5 and 6 of 1 Corinthians, the first thing that stood out to me is it said it is actually reported, it is actually commonly known. It's all over the place what's going on in the church, and you guys are not doing anything about it. That's the thing that stood out to me right away, that there are things going on in the church, and the leadership was not doing anything about it. They were going under the whole idea of let's just be tolerant. Let's just accept everybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to say it the wrong way. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We'll just accept what's going on. Well, what was going on? A man was sleeping with his father's wife. Now, was that his stepmom? Was that had his father died and she was alone? We don't know anything about this woman. This woman was not taken to task on any of the stuff that was going on. We don't know anything about her. She wasn't brought up. But here's what we do know. This was family member. Leviticus says you may not do this with a family member, and that he was not a woman that he was married to. That makes it immoral. That makes it fornication. That makes it adultery, that makes it all of the things that were wrong with that. And the church was looking at it and going, aren't we great? because we're not coming down on this person because they don't have it all together, but that's okay. But they were believers, and they needed to be dealt with. And so Paul shows us how to deal with those very things. It says that sexual, because of the sexual immorality, and that it was his wife. And for I indeed, in verse 3, for I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, even as though I was there, I've judged him who has so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you gather together, this issue needs to be dealt with. And there are three things that are going to happen. When you have come together, when you realize that I am there in spirit, I'm there amongst you, just as if I were standing there, along with my spirit, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to come with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to tell him that he has to be put out of the church. He's telling him, you're not mourning over this issue. Why are you not mourning over this issue? Why are you not dealing with this issue? You need to take him away. You need to turn him over to Satan. Remember when Peter was turned over to Satan that Satan wants to sift you, but I will be with you, Jesus said. Satan wants to sift you, but I will be with you. There were other times when those situations were the same as that. It's about separating the man, and so he has to be separated from the fellowship there. It says in verse 5, when you have gathered together, and I am there in spirit, and you're with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that his spirit may be saved. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? They were allowing these things to go on. This is about separating this man from the blessing of the family. He was abusing his rights. He was polluting the church. He was flaunting his sin. He wasn't saying, hey guys, I'm really struggling with this. Can you help me out? He was saying, this is what I'm doing. Have you noticed how good I am at it? And the thing is that those outside of the church could see what was going on. Those who were outside of the church could see that he wasn't living for Christ. And so he was saying that he wanted to live like the devil, so he was turned over. He was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. He said, if he wants to live like the devil, then let the devil have him for a time. People are put outside of the church with a purpose of restoration, not with the purpose of just get rid of them, but for the purpose of restoration. When Pastor Allen was here, there were people who came to the church who would get disruptive, and he would put them on a timeout. They couldn't come to church for this length of time. Just for this length of time, they weren't able to be there. And that's how he handled it. But the fellowship, he had to be separated from the fellowship. Fellowship is a precious thing. It means more than sharing Sunday morning. It's about sharing life. It's about working through our challenges. And this is not the only time that Paul has done such a thing. In 1 Timothy 1:20, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. It was for a time. They were turned over to Satan for a time. Jesus did the same thing in Revelation 2, 18 through 20. He dealt with the doctrine of Jezebel. In Revelation 2, 12 through 14, he dealt with the doctrine of Balaam. Purity is as important as unity. When we lived in Australia, there was a gal that I was dealing with, a situation had come up, and we were talking about it, and she said to me, "I am being blatantly disobedient." That was her response to me. "I am being blatantly disobedient." That's what this man was being. Blatantly disobedient. And it had to be dealt with. Purity is as important as unity. Purity is as important as unity. Unity at any price, at any cost. Also, during a time when I was talking with a pastor that we were at a church, and there were some things going on that were not right, and I had said something about it, and he came to me and he talked to me about it and asked me not to say anything, and he said the most important thing to him was unity. And I asked him the question, "Unity at any price, at any cost?" And he said, "Yes, unity at any cost. God cannot bless that." We don't have unity at any cost. We have a responsibility. This was a hard thing that was going to happen, but it was necessary to be done. It was done with grace, it was done with obedience, and it was done with a broken heart. There is no joy in putting someone outside the church. There is no happiness in that. It should be done with grace and with through obedience and with a broken heart. And so, your glorying is not good, verse 6. "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ was our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The last time we went to Israel, not this time, but the last time, it was at Passover time. And when we went into the dining room in the morning, I had questioned why the breakfast looked like it did. It was very, very, very simple. And our guide explained to me that it was time for them to clean out the kitchen. They had to take every utensil, every corner of that kitchen. They had to mop it. They had to wash walls. They had to wash shelves. They had to wash every utensil. They had to clean the vents. They had to clean every single thing in that kitchen. And they had to make sure that there was not one little bit of leaven in that room. What does leaven stand for? Sin. We can't have a little bit of sin. I was thinking about how yeast works in bread when you're making bread. And I was thinking about how it rises up, and then what do? You have to punch it down. Okay, what happens after you punch it down? Okay, you've gotten rid of the fullness of it, and you punch it down, and what happens? It comes right back up again. That's what happens when we try to bury that sin. That's what happens when we try to just punch down the sin, pretend like it's not there. It raises up and is bigger. I don't know. Would it ever explode? I don't know. But anyway, dealing with that, we need to be flatbread. We need to be without sin, without that leaven in us. We need to be getting rid of all of that and dealing with it. We need to be, there's a Christian life is a different life. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean the sexually immoral people of the world. I can't take you out of the world. You have to live in the world. You're going to be around covetous people and extortioners and idolaters. You'd have to be out of the world if you weren't around those people. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. The key there, anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat a meal with them. They have to be separated from the fellowship so that they can get back to a place of fellowship. so that the sin is dealt with in their life. And so that sin needs to be dealt with in my life. So as Christians, we live a different life. We have a new life. We have a better life. And we can't go back to the vomit. Proverbs 26:11. That's what it is to go back to the old life. It's going back to the vomit. And when I say it that way, it's like, ugh! But that's what it's like, to go back to the old life. It's just not worth it. Be careful. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. Be careful. Keep growing. Stay clean. Make repentance more than a ceremonial altar call. Make repentance more than a ceremonial altar call. And this is a line from my husband. Repentance is the antivirus application of your heart. Repentance is the antivirus application of your heart. Am I more like the world or am I more like Jesus? Am I more like the world or am I more like Jesus? Jesus had a zeal for the house of God, the temple in John 2:17. He spent 3 or 4 days reminding them that the temple was for what the temple was for. It was restoring, he was restoring it as a place of truth, guarding it as for its proper use. And he called it a house of prayer. It is to be a house of prayer. Paul had a zeal for the house of God too, for the church of God. And that's what chapter 6 is all about. For at the end of chapter 5, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside, with those the people that are outside, and therefore put away yourselves from the evil person. So in chapter 6, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who is able to do this judgment? So he could not stand, Paul could not stand to see it polluted. He could not stand to see the church polluted or abused. So the charge to the church in Corinth continues, and they were acting too much like the world. Acting too much like the world they were living in. What Paul addresses is not deep. It is not hidden. It's not a hard to understand. Maybe it's hard to swallow, but it's obvious what needs to be done. Unless our hearts are hardened, it's not a hard thing. 5 times Paul says in this chapter, "Do you not know?" 5 times he says, you know better. 5 times he says, you know this already. And now I'm repeating it to you. Do you not know in verse 2, in verse 3, in verse 5, in verse 6, and in verse 9, throughout this chapter, it's not that we don't know, it's that we won't obey. It's not that we don't know, it's that we won't obey. The kingdom of this world versus the kingdom of God. There is a difference. Bill uses an illustration of 2 different kinds of football. We have American football, and in Australia, they have footy. They have similar names, and they have a similar ball that they play with, but it's a completely different game, and it's a completely different rules that go with that. We don't live like the world. We live in the way that God has called us to. So don't go to court with a brother. You are smarter than that. Do you go to the least among you? The world is watching. The world is watching. The world is judging. And this is utter failure on your part. Pay attention to what's going on. Rabbi Tarfon in 100 AD, going way back, in every place where you find pagan law courts, You must not make use of them, even if their laws are the same as the laws of Israel, because the Tanakh says, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. You shall only set them before your own people. Exodus 21:1, before them and not before the pagans, not before others. And remembering that it's, I don't have to be right. What does it say here? As that you're able to judge the world, and now therefore it is that already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Is it okay for you to be wrong? Is it okay for me to be wronged? Can I accept that and go on living? We can. Sometimes we need to. Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren, to the other believers. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. And I am so thankful for verse 11. After all that list, verse 11 says, of such were some of you. Of such were some of you. You used to be these things, but you no longer practice them. That's the key. We don't practice sin. That's what the man in chapter 5 was doing. He was practicing sin, and he was very good at it. Whatever we practice, we will be good at. We have a different moral standard, and we're going to be judging. It says that we're going to be judging angels, and that's a whole different study. But you can write down Psalm 8, 6, and 7, and 2 Timothy 2:12. If you want to do your own study on that, and you probably have from your homework anyway. Your body is a temple. We have a different moral standard, a new ability to please God. 1 John 3:9. How can we say we love God and walk in continual darkness with no victory, with no shame, with no desire for purity? Of such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Then he goes on to say that all things are lawful. I can do whatever I want. I really can do whatever I want. All things are lawful to me. I can do whatever I want, but it's not all helpful for me to do whatever I want. You guys have all seen the little kid that was encouraging his mom on Instagram or on YouTube, and he says, you can get a better job, you can make more money, you could be rich, you could live in the White House, you could be president, you could be anything you want to be. You don't worry about what somebody else wants you to be. You be who you are supposed to be. That's what God calls us to be. We can be anything, but let's be what God's called us to be. We can be anything that he's called us to be. All things are lawful. And so it goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Do you know that that was one of the reasons that I stopped using drugs? Is because I didn't want to be under the influence of anything. And God is speaking to the church today for us not to be under the influence of anything. And I know that this is a word from God right now. He wants us to not be under the influence of anything, whether it is drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's TV, whether it's what we read, whether it's what we watch, whatever it is. He doesn't want those things to take over his place and have us be in bondage to them. So if God is speaking to you about letting something go, it's time to let it go. Let it go tonight and be done with it. Foods for the stomach and stomach for the food is simply saying the stomach was made for food, the food was made for the stomach. Those things are going to pass away. But, you know, your body was not made for sexual immorality. It goes on to say, your body was not made for sexual immorality. We all need boundaries in our life. All of us need boundaries in our life. You've seen kids that have lived without boundaries in their lives. I need boundaries in my life. This far and no further. I can't go there. I have to say no to that thing. I need those boundaries. Have you ever tried to drive down a street that didn't have a thing in the middle to keep you on the right side? Do you just kind of wander over to the other side because you don't have a boundary? You don't have something showing you, this is the way, walk ye in it. And God says to us every day, this is the way, walk ye in it. Let's pay attention to his voice. Let's pay attention to what he has to say to us. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Some have simply given in to the morality of the culture that we inherited. We refuse to examine it, we refuse to challenge it, and we refuse to resist it. And we find ourselves in a bondage that we never expected to be in. The people of the world believe their lives and their bodies belong to them. The child of God is given ownership of his life to Jesus Christ. I am owned by someone. And all the talk these days of, you know, we shouldn't talk about slaves and nobody should be slaves. You know what? I'm a slave to Jesus Christ, and I am proud to be one. I want to be a slave of Jesus Christ. I want to belong to him. I want him to have ownership of my life. We belong to Jesus now. The body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. In verse 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. This word flee means to keep running. Keep running away from it. Keep fleeing from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. There's something to be said about a sexual sin. There is a difference in it. It's a part of your body. When the two become one, there's just something that happens in that. And when it's not in its right place, we all suffer from it. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Do you know that Jesus goes every place you go? He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. So when you're in the midst of something, when you're in the midst of doing something, in a place where you know you don't belong, and you get that realization of, oh, I brought Jesus here. It's a good reminder for all of us. Flee that sexual immorality. The boundaries for sex are between marriage, and purity is priceless. And now we get to what I wanted to get to all along. For you were bought with a price, verse 20. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God's. You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What are you worth? What are you and I worth to God? We were bought at a price. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Not redeemed with corruptible things, not with cold hard cash, not with a credit card, not with something that was passing away, but we have been bought from our aimless conduct with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption is an action of gaining or regaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. He paid a debt he didn't owe because I couldn't pay the debt that I did owe. I know that I said that all wrong. Jesus Christ paid the debt for me. He paid that debt for me. Jesus redeemed. The word redeem means to buy up. Jesus redeemed. He bought up a terrible, useless, worthless world of people. Oh, but don't say that about me because that's not politically correct to say that I'm worthless. And that's not culturally correct to say that I don't have it together. Well, honey, you don't. And neither do I. Jesus Christ came and died for those of us who realized that we need a Savior. He came for those who realized that they need a Savior. He paid full price for us. He didn't get a good deal on us. He didn't get it on a markdown. He didn't pay half price. He paid full price. Full price that I could have eternal life. He laid down his life for us. Salvation cost God a personal fortune. Salvation cost God a personal fortune. Revelation 5:9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people. And Acts 20:28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And we are all overseers of the flock. This isn't just speaking to those of us who are leaders. To shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. God's blood. It was a set price. God set the price. Satan did not set the price. God set the price. The price of redeeming a man was the shed blood of an innocent man, of God himself. Who was purchased? 1 John 2:2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. You will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. There are false prophets all around. As I said a couple of weeks ago, whenever the last time I was here, 23% of Americans have any relationship with Christ. 23%. Paul says you've been bought at a price. 1 Corinthians 7:23, which we'll cover next week. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men. You now are alive to live for him, and the blood never loses its power. His blood never loses its power. God lays claim to your life by the blood. The price is paid. Your sins are covered. You are his property. I am his property. Again, not politically correct to say that, right? I am proud to belong to him. I am proud of it. So we're walking around with someone else's property. What are we doing with it? I'm walking around with someone else's property here. What am I doing with it? What am I doing to extend his kingdom? Let God take possession of what he has purchased. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your precious grace, Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these ladies as they go into their small groups, Lord. I pray that you would anoint their time together. I pray, Father, that you would fill in all of the things that are of concern to them. Father, that you would give them clarity of thought, that you would give them clarity of speech, Lord, when they talk to each other. Father, that their eyes and their hearts would be set on you. I pray, Father, that you would give each of us a thirst for your word, a hunger and a thirst for your word, Lord. Would you anoint us fresh with your power of your Holy Spirit to walk with you, Lord? May we realize that we live a life that's different from everyone else. We are royalty. We belong to the King. We are daughters of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We have all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. You have given us all things, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would do what no man can ever do. As you speak into hearts during this time of small groups, speak in a way that only you can speak, Lord. Some of us can only hear it when you say it. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that we can walk in newness of life, that we don't have to continue on in anything that's not of you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name.